Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Let's talk both teams, both games, with the Ditty. Ray Dittinger joins us every single Monday at this time. Usually it's just an Eagles breakdown. In this case, a Phillies breakdown as well. Ray Ditty, good morning, sir.
Morning, Joe. How are you?
I mean, licking some wounds, but
yeah.
Got another game in a couple hours. Good thing I don't have to play in it. Those guys got to go play in it. They better freaking bounce back. All right, Ray, let's start Eagles, and then we'll go Phils.
Okay.
So I believe that Nick Sirianni was influenced by A.J. Brown's tweet and complaining and probably private conversations that they had and that whole thing, and deviated from his typical game script, and I think it cost the Eagles a game. I'm not saying it's just that simple because there was a lot of other stuff that went wrong, but I thought a great coach made a really bad decision to deviate for the wrong reason. Do you agree with me?
In other words, the coach is bending to the players
here. Yes.
Well, was there influence? Yeah, probably. I think that all that talk that went on last week and the feeling that there was something brewing within the team with unhappiness on the part of, you know, being expressed, being articulated by A.J. Brown, but maybe even being going a little wider than that. Did the coach kind of adapt his game plan accordingly? Maybe. I mean, if you certainly look at the fact that the way they called plays early in the game and throughout the game. I mean, Barkley has one carry in the second half. Yep. I mean, it sort of suggests that. I mean, none of us know necessarily, but was I thinking that? Yeah, I was thinking that. But still, I mean, you got a 17-3 lead in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's a 17-3 lead, even against a good Denver team. When you're playing at home, you shouldn't lose that game. And that's what this one comes down to. And when it's a very frustrating game that just sticks in your craw, and it's going to with the fans in the city for a while, and it should. I mean, you shouldn't lose a game like that. But if you look at if you try to look at the bigger picture, which is what I try to do, it's all the stuff that they've been doing all year, you know, and it just all. And you kept winning those other games, and there was always this sense that, oh, you know, I've heard that, you know, they always find a way to win. You know, they always find a way to win. Team refuses to lose. And then when you try to point out all the stuff that's not great right now, then people throw it back in your face, that you're not giving them credit for being 4-0. Well, you know, the fact is both things were true. And then yesterday they did them all over again, and this time you did lose. And now people are having to confront some of the problems that are here and saying, well, oh, man, where do we go from here? It was a very frustrating loss for obvious reasons, but a lot of the stuff that cost you that game yesterday was stuff you had been doing for the previous 4 weeks. Those other 4 weeks, you got away with it. Yesterday, you didn't. And, you know, now you got to pick it up and move forward. But, I mean, are there some issues with this team? You bet there are. And now I think people are going to maybe step back and get serious about the confronting what's there. And trying to make them better before it winds up really costing you.
Ray, They ran it 29 times. What did they do that allowed that? That's unheard of. And then I spy Jalen Carter in the middle there. Jordan Davis also. I know those guys have a lot of responsibility. But, 29 times, when they're running it 29 times, they're having success on the ground. And they have to be pointed at. What did you see from that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And that's another one of the things, John, that I was saying that, when you're 4-0 and you start pointing things out, people say you're just nitpicking. You're looking for things to complain about. But the fact is the run defense has not been good. It just hasn't. Teams are averaging almost 5 yards a carry against this team. And teams that were running the ball and wanted to run the ball were able to run the ball successfully against this team. And I really thought that it could really hurt this team coming into this game because, with Dobbins and Harvey, they got two good backs, and their offensive line is very good. The center is kind of just average, but the other guys on the offensive line are good players. And it just struck me that, Sean Payton is a really good offensive game planner and a really good play caller. And coming into this game, he was going to come in this game with the idea of two things. I'm going to run the ball because I think I can run the ball successfully against this team, and it's going to make it easier for my quarterback to set up the play action.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those things were true. But it isn't like this just came out of nowhere. If you watch the first four games, I was concerned about the run defense because it seemed to me that when teams wanted to run the ball, they were able to run the ball. And then, you won those four games, but it helped contribute to you losing this one.
Does it feel like it's oversimplifying it? We're talking a lot today about how the coaches had bad games. Nick Sirianni had a bad game. The play caller, Kevin Betullo, had a bad game. Is this a trend that we're seeing, Ray? It felt like, I know the Broncos came out at the half with the simulated pressure plan. The first half they were playing defensively. The first half the Broncos are playing a lot of man, and we're going downfield and having success against man coverage. Then the second half, change of plans. Nice coaching job. The simulated pressures that have given us problems. Zone coverage with everyone up at the line of scrimmage and then half of them drop out. That really messes with our protection and with Jalen's comfortability. And we still don't seem to have an answer.
Yeah. Well, it was really obvious that when I was taking notes watching it back last night, the one word I wrote down was pocket awareness. Normally that's an area where Hurts is very good. Normally he feels what's happening around him really well. He normally sees that kind of stuff that you were talking about better than most. Not true yesterday. He runs the ball twice for 3 yards, sacked six times. How many balls did they knock down at the line of scrimmage? And a lot of it was just that he just looked confused. He just looked like he couldn't figure out where the pressure was and where it was coming from. And that's not common for him. But at a certain point, you do have to give some credit. You give some credit to the other team because Denver is a really good, really good defensive team. They led the league in sacks last year. They're on the way to leading the league in sacks this year. They're really good. The guys they have on the edge, Cooper and Mateto, they're good. And the two of them might have the best takeoff of any edge players in the league. Jeez. They are quick coming off the edges. And I knew that would pose a problem for the Eagles. But I was a little bit surprised that it seemed to flummox Hurts as much as it did. This comes back to what I think is it's now becoming obvious. We kind of talked around it a little bit up till now, but now it's coming really – the offensive line is really a problem, right now. And and you're coming into this season, and that's like the one thing you don't even question. You come into this season, and you're just kind of saying, hey, we got the best offensive line in football. And that's been true. And that's been true for a couple of years now. You just kind of, we got this area we need to work on. We'd like to get better in this area. But the one thing we got, man, we're good at the line of scrimmage, man. We win in the trenches. We win on the offensive line. And that has been true. Not true now. And And they've gotten away with it for a couple of weeks, but it caught up with them yesterday. And I thought there was a chance that this could be the week because of that, because Denver is really good in that area. And if there was some weakness in the Eagles' offensive line, that this was the kind of team that could expose it, and they did.
Yeah.
So now, and a lot of it has to do with injury. I mean, it seems to me that this offensive line is just beat up. I mean, obviously Dickerson leaves the game yesterday. You've had Lane Johnson been in and out of the lineup. Juergens looks to me like he's trying to play through something. Mailata, give him credit. I mean, Mailata has been a pillar of strength up there at remaining through. So, but the rest of the offensive line is not. And, you know, for the people who have said, I don't know, it looks like Saquon Barkley's lost it. It looks like he's lost a step. Well, no, I mean, the offensive line is the problem with him.
Right.
And I think when you saw the wheel route, and you saw the way he ran away with that, you say, well, no, I don't think he's lost a step. I mean, that looks like Saquon Barkley. So the fact that he's averaging, 3.5 yards a carry now, it ain't on him. It's on the offensive line. It's on the guys that are calling the plays.
The Becton thing's, I think, a factor also. I mean, he was one of five or six really good players. They, were very good players, I'll say, that they lost.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
So, Ray, let's get to the Phils. Some time here with the Diddy, as we do every Monday. Normally all Eagles, but Ray, let's do Phils. Do you blame Rob Thomson for the game one loss? Do you think he had managerial mistakes that cost him the game?
No. Well, I thought the decision to come back with Robertson was a mistake. I thought at the time. I mean, it's an easy second guess now, but I mean, I thought at the time, sure. But I mean, to say that, that he lost the game. No, I mean, your top three hitters are 1 for 13. I mean, that's where he lost the game. I mean, everybody would like to pin things on the manager or the coach. That's kind of an easy way to go anytime you have a disappointing loss. But I don't think he lost them the game. No, I mean, I didn't agree with the decision. Did it contribute to losing him? Yeah. But if you ask me, when I look back on that game, what stands out about, how did we lose this game? Well, the guys at the top of your order didn't produce for you.
Yeah.
And if they don't produce for you tonight, you'll lose again. I mean, you need those guys on base. You need those guys producing runs, and they just didn't do it the other night. I think the one thing that, associate certain things are kind of as a given. And a couple of years ago, when the Phillies were really on a roll, and we really got into this whole Red October thing, was the feeling, and it was said by a lot of people around the country. I mean, out of town media, like the national TV people, it was every time the Phillies have a home game in the postseason, man, you forget about trying to go in there and win. You know, that's the greatest home field advantage in baseball, and we as Philadelphians wore that with pride.
Yep,
you know. That ain't true now. I mean, you've lost four of the last five postseason games at the bank. And jeez, is that the fans' fault? No, because they're showing up in numbers and they're making the same amount of noise. But if the big guns at the top of the order aren't producing, then none of that matters.
Ray, do you agree with this theory that I have that Harrison Bader provides not just a spark, but a I don't know, like a forgiveness almost, where we've run into problems in the postseason in the past is where guys get too tight. They get too, I got to do it. I got to get a hit now. Harrison Bader comes in with the swagger that gives, guys a little bit more, positivity about the whole thing. And him going out with the...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Groin strain really had an impact on the mindset in that first game. Am I imagining this, or is there something to it, Ray?
No, I think there might be something to it. I mean, he has had a bigger role in this team than I imagined when they brought him in.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I mean, I knew who he was, and I knew he was a good player. And I thought he would be a nice piece to add coming down the stretch. But he's had more impact than I thought he would. And having him hurt and having his physical condition at this point in question is definitely a negative. But it comes down to the guys who have carried you in the past. I mean, it comes down to Harper. It comes down to Schwarber. I mean, it comes to, Turner's the only guy in the National League to hit over 300. Okay, you need him to do what he's doing. You got Schwarber, 50-plus home run guys. You need him to be that guy. And Harper has carried you in the other postseasons. I mean, those three guys all have a track record, and they are all integral to your team having success in the postseason. And we saw the struggles that they had last year when they went down to the Mets, and what you saw the other night was very eerily similar to that. And unless they can turn it around tonight, and it ain't going to be easy. It ain't going to be easy with Snell pitching. But they're going to have to find a way to do it, or they're going to be 0-2.
Yeah, Ray, the only thing I'll say that I think I disagree a little bit with you on your Phil's analysis is I give those hitters a lot more leeway when going up against Ohtani than those Mets four starters last year. I mean, I was at the game, and I'm telling you from what I saw, I mean, Ohtani was just freaking nasty. And I think there's very few hitters in the world that would have hit that much. So, now, listen, Snell is also outstanding. And to your point, it's a tough standard in October. But I'm just telling you, I thought he was uniquely impressive the other day. So
it was really good. I mean, he was really good, but I mean, that's who he is.
Well, and the job is to beat him. And I understand your point. Your basic point is, I don't care how good the other guy is, the job is to go out there and find a way. And they did not the other day, and you would be correct about that.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a championship team and you get playing in October, you're going to see good pitching. And guess what? Your bats have to be that good. And
look,
they weren't the other night.
Ray,
and they have to find a way to be that tonight.
To that point, and we know there's some times in Philly's history when it's gotten really scary in October, and one of them was Game 5 versus the Astros in 80. You're going up against Nolan Ryan. And you know what? They beat him. So,
yeah, that's a good one. And I was in the Astrodome that night, and I was sitting in the press box, and I'm looking at, and they're rolling out all these stats of Nolan Ryan's record in games when he takes a lead into the eighth, ninth, whatever. I mean, it's like ridiculous. It was like 118-2 or something. And the Phillies came back and beat him. Yeah. I mean, that's what you have to do. That's what defines teams that win championships. The other teams that don't win them, that's why you don't remember.
You're right. Dead on. Ray, good stuff as always. Great stuff. Love having you on. We'll figure out the schedule later this week. My guess is we have you on Friday with the Thursday night Eagles game. We'll figure that out as we move forward. Thank you, Ray.
No problem, Joe. But the one thing, I normally, and I've talked to you about this forever, I hate Thursday night football.
Yeah.
To me, it's one of my least favorite things in the world. But I'm glad they're playing Thursday night this week.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're playing Thursday night, and I'm glad they're playing against this team. Because the Giants stink, okay? This is a game that the Eagles have to go out and they just have to crush this team.
Yeah.
They can't screw around with this team. It can't be close and forth. You got to crush this team because they're there to be crushed. Okay, and forget about being on the road. That's going to sound like the link. I mean, it's going to because it always does up there. And this is a game. I know you don't have a whole lot of time to get healed and game plan, but it shouldn't matter against this team. You can't be fooling around with these guys. You got to go out and you got to crush this team right from the jump. And then maybe you get your season back on track. But this is a big game, surprisingly enough. But it's the perfect opponent at the perfect time. Go out and do what you have to do.
Love it. Ray, I want you in the locker room for the pregame speech.
That was awesome.
But maybe for the Phillies tonight. All right, Ray, good work, pal. Thanks, Ray.
Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
You got it. And one thing just to let everyone know regarding Thursday, because this got announced over the weekend. The Phillies game is currently for Thursday night scheduled for 6:08. That's a huge plus because the Eagles game is 8:15. So 6:08 Phillies, 8:15 Eagles. That really lets most people, if the game doesn't go too long, really to be able to watch two pretty comfortably. Maybe you taped, the first quarter of the Eagles game and start zipping past it, some of the commercials and all. But bottom line is 6:08, 8:15 could have been a lot worse. Now, one thing to tell you, the Phillies game can get moved to 7:08 if it's the only game that day. So 6:08.
That would be dumb of them to do that. It just would be. You just don't go up against the NFL.
Yeah, but they also care about the whole country more than just us.
I understand that, yeah. But a lot of people will watch the NFL as opposed to baseball.
All right, so anyway, that's the details for Thursday. Let's put it this way. It's better than it could have been because both games could have been at the same time. That would have been horrible. That was a bad weekend. Bad, bad. Even included the Penn State loss. Guess no one had a worse weekend than Mark Sanchez. Holy mackerel. He might lose his job.
Imagine that story's getting
stabbed. Stabbed, yeah.
Stabbed and arrested?
Yeah.
Stabbed and arrested.
That's kind of hard to do. Kind of like a hat trick.
And apparently there's video. It's not out yet, but the cops must really have something on him to arrest him. That video
in a hospital bed? For sure.
In critical condition when he first got there is what they said.
It's not good.
No.
Not good. All right. Let's talk about a key moment from the Phillies game because these moments are going to pop up on the playoffs. And this one was an outgrowth of the way the relievers were being used. And I mean relievers on the other team. So there was a key sequence late. I actually forget it was the 8th or 9th because now it's been 2 days. But when Sosa got the at-bat, that was the 8th inning, right? So Rob Thompson really had three choices because the Dodgers bring in a lefty reliever. His choices were Sosa, Weston Wilson, or Otto Kemp. I thought he made the right choice in going to Sosa. Did you feel that, John?
Yes, absolutely. I felt good about that.
You with that, James?
I was fine with it. Like, I didn't. Honestly, through the three, like Wilson crushes lefties. He's really good against them. Otto's good against lefties too. But Edmundo's been your most experienced guy. He's been here the longest. He's been in the playoffs. So I don't think I would have been too upset in any way. I would have trusted the decision there.
Yeah, yeah. My first thought was Weston Wilson. Then the guy behind me was like, "What about Sosa?" Because I think Sosa normally more of an infield thing. You had to get an outfielder. And I'm like, you know what? So this is all, as it was all going down, I'm like, actually, you're right. I'm like, it should be Sosa. And then it turned out it was Sosa. I think it was the right call. Look, he put a drive into it. Ball wasn't carrying very much. Who else hit one pretty deep? Bader.
Schwarber. And Schwarber's first at bat went to the warning track.
And
Schwarber. And Bader. Bader, I thought that the sack fly, I thought that was gone. I had a great view, too.
Bears did.
Yeah.
Just to Oscars, though. I mean, the ball really wasn't carrying. I'm with you.
It wasn't.
I did not expect the Oscars to get out like.
Well, especially because it was later in the game and these other balls hadn't carried. And I'm like, well, that's not going to get out. Yeah.
I don't know.
It really did, too. Unnaturally.
Yeah, it kept going. Yeah.
Well, he must have really cracked it. I mean, he,
The trajectory. Yeah. That was a,
So game two tonight, 6:08 tonight for game two. One thing to tell you, I don't know if you've thought of this. I couldn't sleep last night. I'm just lying there and trying to think of things.
I don't know if I slept all weekend.
Yeah. So, I figured this out off the top of my head, but looked it up to confirm it. The Phillies have only come back to win a series that they trailed in two times in their entire history.
And they've never come back after losing the first game of a series.
Well, then there you go. Yeah. So they've played 30 series. They are 15-15 in their history in the postseason. This is the 31st series. They've lost 15 times. They've never, ever come back after trailing. They've only come back twice after trailing It was 80 versus the Astros and 93 versus the Braves. They were down 2-1 in both series.
And then
series.
They won the game one in both of those.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
So only two times it's ever happened. And, you know, you do feel a little, like as a Phillies fan, knowing those series, I lived through 93, I was too young for 80, but there's a little extra admiration, I'll say, you have as a fan when your team comes back and wins. So we hope this team can do it. It's scary. We know the basic math. They got to win 3 out of 4. And, you know, their backs are against the wall. They're not 1,000% on the wall, but it's freaking close.
Well, tonight, close. I mean, we all know it's not technically must win, but it's must win. Like, tonight is in some ways, potentially, especially at home with the 4-5 they've lost. They're 2-8 in their last 10 playoff games, this group. Like, this is potentially legacy-defining type of night, depending on if they can win and keep going.
2-8 in their last...
2-8 in their last 10 postseason games.
That's disturbing.
Yeah, because they lost three of the last 4 to the Diamondbacks, they lost 3 of 4 to the Mets, and they lost yesterday or whatever.
Yeah, horrible. Horrible. All right, and you know, one other thing just to throw out there, because we did talk about this through the season. If they had a first round, well, that's technically the second round, but if they had a first series exit, would Rob Thompson get canned? Now, I don't know the answer to that, but I know this. He might.
It's on the table.
I said it wasn't, and I think I'm wrong. Remember when we did that? No, for real. When we did that show, I said there's not, like, I think I'm wrong about that.
And
I'm
that
not
was saying late, it's late September we discussed
yeah,
that.
I was yeah. like, no, you know what? It doesn't matter what happens in the playoffs. Like, I could be wrong.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. We'll get to what Topper said about Harrison Bader. Coming up shortly here, Drew in Westchester right now, both the Eagles and Phillies squarely on the table. Good morning, Drew.
Hi, folks. Yeah, obviously, you know, I haven't slept either. I'm not in the mood for, you know, jokey stuff, but I'll just say real quick. It was nice. Very nice seeing you at Chickies on Saturday. At that point, the weekend was still fun before it turned out. not
gone
very
straight
not fun.
To hell.
Yeah. Well, better put than I could. Let me start with the Eagles, and then I'll go to the Phils.
Sure.
I'm not in the mood to blame the refs this morning. I just think we have to be honest with ourselves. If we want P.I. on that Goddard call, then we need to go back to Super Bowl 52 and give the pass an untimed down from the 1 yard line because we grabbed every receiver.
Dude, if you think Rob Gronkowski wasn't committing pass interference on his way down the field, then you didn't freaking see the play. It could have gone both ways, Drew.
That's the last play. And the Goddard one.
You're talking about the Goddard one before, not the Hail Mary.
Hail Mary has a different set of rules altogether.
It really does. It really does. It technically
and
doesn't, but it does.
That way.
Yeah.
We were coached that way.
Yeah.
We were coached to interfere on a Hail Mary every time. The offense and the defense. Well, actually, I don't know what the defense
I don't know
is
that
coached.
I've ever seen pass interference called on a Hail Mary.
I haven't.
Right? I never have.
I have not ever seen it.
You know,
could have called
guys,
it on A.J. Brown on Devontae.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. I want it. No, I want
but
it.
But Drew, the Goddard play was a regular football play, and it should have been deemed pass interference. Now, I agree with your first statement you made. As an Eagles fan, I'm not in the mood to dwell on it too much either, because I think the Eagles shot themselves in the foot 37 different ways and are primarily to blame for losing this game. But it clearly should have been a pass interference, and the Eagles could have had the ball at the 3.
Yeah, I guess I just feel like typically in the final minute, it's really rare you're going to get that call. Like, you're up 17-3. You got to close it. I'll move on to the Phils. So yeah. I guess, Joe, like you, I wanted Ranger to start game 2 so he would be available to start game 5, just given his experience. Now you keep mentioning his health, and obviously, you know, that's one thing we don't know. But to my knowledge, it was messaged to us from the team that the reason he was starting game 3 was so he could potentially be available out of the bullpen in game 1. So I'm not trying to manifest this, but let's say, you know, Lizardo isn't good tonight or in game 5, and then Ranger's good in game 3. Like, these are the types of series of decisions that can cost Topper his job. Like,
the
most important job this time of year is, it's not about keeping guys happy. It's not about messaging. It's how to deploy the pitchers. And he has made this a lot harder on himself than I think it needed to be.
Look, Drew, I agree. Yeah. Look, the one question we just don't know, while they talked about Ranger's availability for Saturday, we don't know that he truly was.
To your point, you made the decoy point. That's absolutely possible. Like, you, to the Nick Sirianni thing, you don't want to, you want the other team to have to prepare for any situation you could throw at them.
Yeah. I just don't know, Drew, if he was really available or not. I just don't know.
Yeah. I guess I just worry if he's truly not healthy, or 3 days, 2 days going to make a big difference. But to me, if he's not healthy, we're in, you know, big trouble in this series.
I agree. All right, Drew. Look, good call. I mean, I agree with you 1,000,000%. Let's get to Joe in Mayfair. Joseph, good morning.
Well, it is not a good morning here in Philadelphia. Yeah. And, but, you know, I'll start with the Eagles first. You let a tired Broncos team hang around for three quarters because too many hands are in the cookie jar when it comes to the offense. Not Jalen's offense. It's not AJ's offense. It's not Saquon's offense. It's not the OC's offense.
You're right. It's Sirianni.
It's Sirianni should be dictating to everybody what the game plan is. Shut your mouth. Go freaking execute it. And stop whining like little babies out there. There's too much talk about this every single week. The other team pretty much knows what we're running. That's a problem. Whether you try to execute it or not, can't execute something if somebody else is dictating because they know it's coming. There is no, oh my gosh, they ran this play. I'm shocked. I was not expecting that when you're watching an Eagles offensive game. And it's very predictable. You're at home and you let a team hang around. I don't blame anybody else but that coaching staff yesterday, 1,000%. And I don't care if you have a Thursday game. Yes, the offensive line's banged up. You can pitch the ball to Barkley a couple times. You can throw a couple swing passes to Barkley. You can have him in motion, and Jalen pitches him the ball as a forward pass to get him the ball in his hands more than he touched the ball yesterday. That's just
well. Also, Joe, they still just—I'm with you on so much of that—and they still just don't put Jalen under center much, and it reduces the playbook dramatically.
Correct.
I think that has a lot more to do with
center,
Cam Jurgens.
The ball.
With who, Ray?
Cam Jurgens, because I think he's still injured. I think he's not playing healthy.
I don't know. I just tend to think that Jalen's just not as comfortable under center, and that's why they run the play-action stuff that's the ride
because
and decide.
And I've said this, I'll say this all the time, they only do what he can do. He is too small to be under center to see that middle part of the field between the hash marks. So if you play action, it's hard. 20, 25 yards and further, yes, he can see. But that middle part of the field, he's not seeing over those offensive lines.
Well, it has been a factor. I don't know if that would be a factor in not having him under center. I do think it's a factor.
Sure, you're
not
5 yards back already, Joe.
Maybe.
You're already 5 yards back and elevating. So let's get to the elephant in the room in the Phillies. It's the same thing I've been telling you guys for 2 months. They try to play hero ball. Everything was a big swing. Again, big swings. You got Ohtani throwing 90, 88 cutters and sweepers and 100-mile-an-hour fastballs. What is your job is to just get contact on the ball. Get the ball, get the head of the bat through the strike zone as quickly as possible, not these big gaping swings, and you're swinging for hero ball. And the Phillies scored in one inning. Again, these bats continue, these players continue to not just put the ball in play. They struck out 12 times. And there's no such thing as moving the runners, causing havoc when you're up 3-0 and you put your foot on the throat on that team. They go up 4-5-0.
Well, yeah, the offense shut down for four innings. I mean, 1,000%. It shut down for like six or seven innings, but I mean, under Ohtani.
Yeah, really only threatened two innings. They scored in the one, and then it was the Sosa thing, and that was pretty much it.
Right.
And the only thing I'm going to complain about, Topper, is you have to win game one. I'm not putting David Robertson, who's 40, who did not do great last time in a Phillies uniform. And I'm not letting Matt Strom face Mookie Betts and Hernandez, two right-handed hitters, back-to-back in that inning. He managed the bullpen tremendously wrong. Say what you want about Kirkering. I trust Kirkering in that spot than I do with David Robertson and Strom. I'm sorry. And you got Nola, who's not starting game one or two, who's been through these wars before. You can't get him in an inning. I trust him more than those Strom.
So I think it's revisionist history on that one, Joe.
And
I do.
You also got Suarez, too, who I trust him with even a hurt leg more than Strom and Robertson. That's to me, coaching scare. I want to put the Dodgers behind the eight ball. I need this win. And Topper didn't
coach that game. And we have to get this monkey off our back. We got to get a win in this game. I don't care what we got to do to get a W. We're getting a W. And if he keeps coaching this nonchalant, everything's okay, they're never going to win.
All right, Joe.
It really is.
I got you, bud. I know you're frustrated. We all are. I don't agree with all those points. I mean, I think it's massive revisionist history to say I'd prefer Kirkland instead of Robertson. Massive. But, you know, Kirkland did pitch well in the eighth. Let's get to this issue. Let's say there's a scenario. Forget how they got there. I don't care how they got there. Starting pitcher pitched freaking two innings. Starting pitcher pitched six innings, whatever. Let's say it's the seventh inning tonight. And it's time for a right-handed reliever. And you're not at Duran yet. And your options are Robertson, Kirkring, Nola, Walker Buehler. Rhea, who you choosing?
All right, so Robertson, Kirkring, Walker, Buehler.
And Nola.
And Nola.
Seventh
and
inning.
Taiwan, technically.
And Taiwan. But, you know, you're not going to choose Taiwan.
No. But, thank you.
But the other four are to be considered.
What's the situation in the game?
Seventh inning. It's time for a righty. You got Robertson available. You got Kirkring available. You got Nola available. You got Walker Buehler available. Who are you going to?
Are we trailing?
Tie game.
Oof.
It's not an easy call.
No, it's not. I probably would go to Robertson.
So I think I would too, James.
I would go to Robertson. I just wouldn't bring him back out the next inning.
Yeah, okay.
That's the key. That's the problem.
That's the
key. Yeah, Robertson, clean it up and figure it out, and then someone else is out there the next inning. I don't trust him at his age to just keep up and down and up
and down. Well, something that was concerning, I mean, not much concerning for me, but we did take notice of it and we discussed it last week. The very end of the year, he didn't finish as strong of the regular season. Like, his ERA got above four. You know, he was outstanding for the first month or whatever.
Guys. He was walking guys. My biggest fear, because when he was first here, he would walk the first batter. I mean, like clockwork, it felt like.
I don't remember
And then
that.
Watching him on other teams after he left, that was, he did away with that. He was, wow, this guy really does seem like the veteran pitcher he is. And when he got back this year, that was the beauty of the way he was pitching. He was.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So precise, and he wasn't walking guys, and he was putting the ball where he wanted to. That changed at you know, recently. Yeah. At the end of the season.
He didn't finish strong.
Is he fatigued?
Well, what you don't want to have is a Kimbrel situation. You don't want to have an old guy that's like hitting a wall.
Exactly.
And it is possible that is implied.
Yeah, of course.
We can't have our head in the sand. That might be going on. It's also a pitcher, like Kimbrel's had an incredible career. I mean, Robertson has an ERA of 3 for 17 seasons. That is almost impossible. So, yes, I trust him more than Kirk Green, but I'll say this. The leash is going to get real short immediately. I mean, that one really hurt
the urgency better be there for Thompson. I don't want to hear that, you know,
no question.
We're saving this guy for, you know, a game that might not happen.
All right, let's get to the Bader situation. Let's start with an update from Rob Thompson yesterday on Harrison Bader. Remember, it was not a hamstring. It was actually a groin. Here was Rob Thompson with his press conference yesterday, an update on Bader.
No major tear or strain. He's going to come in this afternoon and get some treatment, and we'll know more tomorrow.
He sounded really confident, I guess, last night that he would be able to come back.
Yeah, I think, and again, we'll know more tomorrow, but I think after the game, they stretched him out. They got him moving around a little bit, and I think he felt a lot better after that. So, we'll know whether he's available to start or at least to pinch hit. We'll know more tomorrow.
All right, that was Rob Thompson yesterday. Now, let's play this out a step further. Hopefully he can play, start, and be good to go. But there's obviously a chance he won't. There's a chance. So let's get to what Rob Thompson said. This goes back to Saturday night after the game. If Bader can't play, so remember, he's got less information at this point because he doesn't have that testing result from yesterday at this point. But Saturday, he was asked if Bader can't play. And remember, Blake Snell is a left-handed pitcher. He's the Game 2 starter tonight for the Dodgers. Here's what Topper said Saturday night.
What options do you have if he's out? Is it Marsh in center? Do you trust Kepler in center? I know you've been out there for an inning tonight. But
yeah, it's probably Marsh in center, but I do trust Kep out there too.
So let me just tell you this, guys. The outfield gets really bad really quick if Bader doesn't play. Because here's what there's two guys you know are going to start. Marsh is going to start because he's been playing well lately.
Yeah, he's second.
And even though he's a left-handed hitter against a tough lefty, like, he's going to start.
And he's just a much better, even if he's not a great center fielder, he's a much better option than anyone else on the roster.
So Marsh is going to start. The other, I think, guaranteed starter is Castellanos. He's a right-handed stick against a left-handed pitcher. He's going to start. But then the question is, then who? And your options are Kepler is a lefty against a lefty. That's not good. Kemp, who's not particularly good. Weston Wilson probably would get the start, or Sosa. Seltzer, who gets the start?
I think it's probably Weston Wilson. I agree with you. I think it's Kemp over Sosa. I don't think they're going to put Sosa in left field. That, you know, they tried it. It didn't really work. You know, I think it'll be Wilson or Kemp, and I would guess Wilson.
I would guess Weston Wilson also.
And look, I think that player plays no matter what. I think Marsh is only playing if Bader's out. Like, I don't think they start Marsh in left field. You know what I mean? I think if Bader can play the outfield, it'd be Castellanos, Bader, and either Wilson or Kemp.
But you agree Marsh definitely starts if
Oh, I think Marsh Bader's is a out. Lock in center field if Bader can't play. I don't think you consider Kepler in that spot.
Anyway, it's you know, we know what it's been like the last couple of years when they don't have a good outfield, and you see the effect one injury can make it look like a really not good outfield quickly. All right, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. We got two of them. They're both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin's got the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. First poll question, who do you blame the most for the Phillies Game 1 loss? Our four choices here, Robertson, Strom, Rob Thompson, and Phillies hitters. Second poll question, do you think A.J. Brown's tweet affected the Eagles' strategy of passing the ball more than usual? Yes or no? I think it did, and I think there is a very good chance that it cost the Eagles the game. I can't prove it to you. It's unprovable. We'll never know what would have happened if that tweet hadn't been sent out. I just know this. Common sense tells me when a team that usually runs the ball around 50% of the time doesn't and doesn't even come close to it, and for a good stretch of the game holds a 17-3 lead and finishes the game with the star running back getting only 6 carries and the quarterback with 38 passes, that tells me common sense. That tells me the coach changed his strategy and did it for the wrong reasons. And I think it probably cost the Eagles the game.
Now, the lowest number of rush attempts since 2009 by them.
By the Eagles.
That's incredible.
2009.
Since Andy.
Especially considering Andy had like 3 or 4 years in there.
Yeah.
He 9, 10, 11, and 12. That's 4 freaking Andy Reid years. So,
insanity.
You know, not good. And look, Sirianni's a great coach, and I mean it. Truly a great coach. I really believe that. But I think he bungled that one bad yesterday. I think he made his decision. And here's what I'll say. The last time I felt that way in Philly sports, and it was far less important, but when Rob Thomson back in, like, I don't know, July or August, whenever it was, had that game where Nick Castellanos was a defensive replacement, you know, was replaced defensively. And then Castellanos squawked. And then the first chance that he could be replaced defensively again, Rob Thomson did not. And I thought, Cassie got one on Topper. And that's not right. Now, you know, Topper ended up a couple weeks later amending the situation and making Castellanos truly a part-time player. But I thought the route he took to get there was not right. And that's how I felt about Sirianni yesterday. I think he caved to A.J. Brown, and I think it's not right. I think it really hurt the team. Let's get to Ken and Cinnaminson. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, friends. I know how we all are today.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
Just very quickly on the Eagles before I move to my main topic. The Eagles have the best team in the NFL, so by definition, at least on paper. So the only way they're going to lose is when they play poorly. So we're going to have a few of these Mondays or Fridays or whatever day of the week where, you know, they played poorly and we're not going to be happy with
that. Ken, I'm
going to
disagree with your initial premise. I don't know that they have the best team. They may, but I don't know that they do. I've seen enough ills with this team to know they might not be the best team. I mean, right now you got O-line issues, you got defensive against the run issues, which you'll be interested in if Nakobe gets in there as a starter. You got a lack of pass rush, and you got an inconsistent offense. So, you know, maybe they're the best team. They might not be.
The only way they're going to lose to anybody is if they play poorly. So, you know,
I don't agree with that.
There's going to be a few of these this year, and unless you thought they were going to go 20-0 and go to the Super Bowl, you know, we're going to have plenty to nitpick over. But my biggest concern is, and look, before the Phillies game started, Saturday was a great day for me. I mean, Temple won a conference game. Penn State lost to an 0-4 team. I mean, this the weekend is shaping up better than I could have possibly hoped for until Saturday.
Yeah.
I've told you guys for so, and first of all, when I hear Chuck from NIRE call this show in the morning like that, my first concern is, Chuck, take your meds, man. Go, you know, like you forgot, it's morning, go take your meds. I've told you guys for 3 years that my biggest concern with this team was the guy making decisions in the dugout. And he has done his best job of managing this team this year. And I've believed all along that he's a great manager for a 162-game marathon of a regular season. When I was watching that game Saturday night, I said to my wife, when David Robinson comes out to start the seventh inning, they're going to lose the game right here. And the reason I believed that was because Rob Thomson committed the most unforgivable sin you could commit managing a postseason baseball game like that. He was managing the eighth inning in the seventh inning.
I agree. He was. You're right about that. You're right.
Instead of managing what he had in front of him. So it's a 3-2 game. Now, you might explode and score 5 more runs, and then it's all kind of moot. But you have to manage that game as if it's a 3-2
game. Ken, I got to ask you a question. Because I agree with your assessment of how he got there, but I don't agree with the overall conclusion because I liked bringing Robertson back. I know it didn't work. I mean, we've talked 5 trillion times as sports fans. Well, why does this guy that threw 3 pitches or 5 pitches not get to start the next inning? Like, we've had that conversation a million times. So if you go to Strom in the seventh, because the manager does have to manage for the next couple innings. That is part of managing. What would have been your mindset entering the seventh? All right, if I'm using Strom in 7, who am I using in 8?
My mindset when it's 3-2, and I have to assume we're not going to score any more runs. So it's a 3-2 baseball game.
Yep.
My mindset is I have to get a clean inning in the seventh. I have to get a clean inning in the eighth. And I have to get a clean inning in the ninth.
Give me who the pitcher would be in the eighth inning. That's what I'm asking.
Strom, Strom has to start the seventh inning. So you've got David Robertson, who was on his couch 3 months ago.
Ken, you're not Ken, you're not answering the question. I understand. No, listen to me. Who pitches the eighth inning? I'm asking you the question. If you're saying start the seventh with Strom, I'm asking you who should pitch the eighth inning. You got like four or five choices. Just name one of them.
Kirkland pitched the eighth inning, and he should.
I want Duran.
Yeah, Duran.
No, Duran's a reasonable answer.
I want Duran.
It's a reasonable answer.
Look, it's the postseason. All hands on deck. Everything goes. He's the best choice for the eighth and then the ninth. Let's use him.
But the problem is that Rob Thompson is saving Strom for that pocket of the lineup with Ohtani and Freeman, rather than just saying, okay, it's the seventh inning, I've got to get a clean inning here and get to the eighth and then manage the eighth. And instead, he sends David Robertson out there hoping he's going to give him a clean inning when he hasn't done an up down since they signed him back.
Sure.
And, oh, by the way, Strom hasn't inherited runners on base since July. So, I understand that you have to have a plan for what we're going to do each inning, but you have to manage the inning in front of you. And when I saw David Robertson come into the game, I said to my wife,
"Okay, I got you. I got you, my man. It's an interesting call. I appreciate it. I don't agree, but I know James, you do, and John, you do. And look, guys, I grant you, Duran in the eighth is a legitimate option,
especially because if Strom can get through the seventh, those guys, you're bringing Duran in to face Betts and Teoscar and Freeman. Like, let's go,
right?
Like, that's what you want.
I will say this though, for all the it's unconventional-ish for David Robertson to be, used, sit, and used again. It's also unconventional to ask Duran to get six outs. It's not impossible.
Again, I think the big key is bringing Robertson into a dirty inning. It's bringing him that high-intensity spot, saying, get these outs, go sit on the bench and chill out, and then come back out. You bring Duran to start the eighth, you can just pitch the eighth and pitch the ninth. I know it's not totally different, but there is a difference in that mentality-wise.
I know this. I went into this game wanting Kirkren to have no part in it. Now, give him credit.
With you on that.
He did a nice job in the eighth.
He had the best inning of anybody.
I will say this. If Kirkren had been better this year,
Robertson doesn't come
in. Robertson does not come into the seventh inning.
Yeah, no doubt.
There's an effect of Kirkren's meandering 162-game regular season in which he took, two steps backwards. And that played into the strategy. Whether you agree with it or not, of what Rob Thompson did, I think everyone should agree, Kirkren's kind of lame regular season, not lame, but not sharp, affected the strategy. And I can understand that. Let's listen to Rob Thompson talking about his club. I mean, he's got a really, really, really important game to win. By the way, the Phillies did win this game last year. You may not remember.
Yeah, I was thinking about that last night, Joe.
But it's worth letting people know. They lost game one of the Mets. And they won game two. Sanchez was the starter that day. Tonight it'll be Lizardo.
It was a walk-off. Nick Castellanos, walk-off hit.
Bryce had a big homer, and Casty had a big hit, and they pulled it out. It was all they did last year in October. But anyway, let's listen, because, they gotta bounce back. They got to be very mentally tough. To use the Sirianni term, man, this is the time for dog mentality. Let's listen to Rob Thompson speaking yesterday about the pulse of his baseball team.
I don't sense any extra pressure. I feel like they're loose. I feel like, we made a lot of good plays on defense last night. We pitched well. We just didn't get the big hit when we needed it. We had some chances. It's the way it is. I think it's just kind of the ebbs and flows of the game. And we got to come out here tomorrow night and play well.
Okay. That's Rob Thompson. I mean, I'm glad to hear that he feels they're vibing okay, and you certainly want to hear that. You don't want to hear my team super tight. You don't want to hear the Terry Murray thing from 1997. We have a choking situation.
We have a choking situation here.
And to be clear, I don't think the Phillies choked at all the other day.
I don't either, Joe.
Yeah.
I think they just got beat.
They got beat.
Yeah, there were some bad decisions. Some guys didn't live up to what they should be, but the Dodgers hung around. They're a great baseball team.
Right.
They got big hits when it mattered, and they won the game.
That's what I thought. Yep. Chavis in Coatesville. Chavis, good morning.
Good morning, Joe, John, Jimmy, and Rita. How you doing?
Hi, Chavis.
Chavis, it is always good to hear from you, buddy. It's been a while.
Yeah, I know. I've been traveling, I went to South Dakota this year.
Whoa.
Laid out there for a while.
South Dakota sounds so exotic.
Do they still have room up there for me on Mount Rushmore as president number five? Just make sure there's still
legit there.
Make sure there's room.
Listen, I thought baseball was about hitting the ball, and now I hit. I'm sorry, that's your problem.
Yeah.
Well, that was a massive problem, but we also got to acknowledge Ohtani was unbelievable. The guy you really,
listen,
would you like to revise your not the best player I've ever seen take after seeing him pitch in person?
No,
the guy had 55 home runs this year, 50-50 last year, and he pitches like
that. It's just so, it's mind-boggling.
It's the first guy in 100 years.
Yeah.
First guy in 100 years.
Overrated, Joe.
Listen, Robert, the manager of the Dodgers didn't get scared when he went when they were down 3-0. They kept him in there.
Well, look, they got tremendous winning pedigree. I mean, frankly, them and the Chiefs, and I mean this in all due respect to the Eagles, who are in the conversation, but them and the Chiefs probably have the most winning pedigree in the last, 8-9 years in sports. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to believe too. In
front
your
end
starter.
Of that.
Yeah, but
they're
done.
Why did you take your starter out?
Well, Sanchez, I think, was done. I mean, I think they probably considered taking him out even before that. What was it? A double?
Yeah, Kike Hernandez double.
And Chavis, I think he was done. His pitch count was high early. So at the end of three innings, Sanchez was already up around 53 or 54 pitches.
Yeah, and then he settled in for a couple innings, and then it got away from him.
But when I saw that at the end of three, I thought, this is a problem for six and seven, and it was. It was a problem.
And it should have been higher for that's the one thing about the. I get he was a great pitcher, and it's hard to hit off him. You can run his count.
All right,
a little
so
bit
we'll
more
go
than
to the Eagles.
Yeah, go ahead, Chavis.
Oh man, I just don't understand that team. Some days they look great. Some days they look like nobody. I mean, come on, you got a runner, and you're thinking you're gonna get 2,000 yards out of him this year. Everybody knows you got a good year for him last year, but they didn't know how he would act behind that offensive line. But everybody know now. We'll put 7-8 in the box. We ain't letting him get away.
Yeah, I don't know that it's that simple. But listen, Chavis, good hearing from you, man. I mean, we got to see more of Saquon to know if he's lost a little bit or not. I do think they were managing him for Thursday night to use the Rob Thompson
they
thing.
They have
about
other running backs. I mean, A.J. Dillon is there. Will Shipley. And, the guy who's their quarterback is pretty good at it, too.
No question. There's no question. I mean,
it's puzzling what they did in the second half.
Very.
I mean, seriously.
It was Andy Reid-like.
It was just you got a 17-3 lead.
Yeah, I thought it was utterly bizarre.
Don't tell me you got behind the sticks on first down. You didn't have to throw on first down every play.
Look, hopefully we're talking to Nick Sirianni tomorrow. We typically have him on Tuesday at 8:40. Now, I do not know with the short week how the schedule will be affected.
Normally on a Tuesday, you have no guys in the building, no players in the building.
I'm a little spun around on that.
They will have players in the building tomorrow. It's installing everything.
Dude, tomorrow's Friday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.